Hello, my name is Claire Wild, and I'm here to present an episode of The Interview with head coach of Celtic FC Women, Fran Alonso. Hello, Fran.
Hello, good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. Looking forward to actually come back, but for a moment, yeah, trying to keep busy, trying to be preparing everything for that amazing day when we are allowed to train.
Yeah, we were just saying before we started recording that it's the sort of the decision, it feels like it's quite imminent, so we're all keeping our fingers crossed. Maybe by the time this goes out, we will know whether we're back or not. We've also got Erin Connolly with us. Hi, Erin.
Hey, how are you?
I'm very well. Good morning. Bit rainy.
Yes. Yeah, I got excited by the sunshine yesterday, but normal service seems to have resumed today.
Yeah, we just got one day as a wee treat and now it's back to rain and grey and the wind is crazy. Cool. Well, we're just going to have a wee chat with you, Fran, about how things have been going, how you're feeling about everything, and just sort of do a wee overview so that people get to know a little bit more about you. Because I think the first time we spoke, you really were very new in the job and not much football had yet been played. The league, you know, obviously we had the stop start to the league, so it was a tricky start. But how are you feeling about the league and the team's performance so far overall in the season so far, the games that have been played?
I think pretty positive. I'm happy with the evolution of the style. I'm happy with the performance of the girl. Overall, I think we have a good season. Obviously, our only defeat, I joined last January, so it's like 13 months and a bit. We only got one defeat, and I think obviously we were very, very unlucky in terms of the preparation prior to the game. We faced a team that trained for 3.5 months, and we only were given 4 weeks. So I think that's not really, you know, a defeat that we can punish too much ourselves. But apart from that, you know, it was just, 2 points that we dropped against Forfar in a game that you know, we weren't at our best. But we managed to show this mental strength and get a point in the last 2 minutes of the game. So overall, apart from these two games, where obviously, you know, we want to win every game, but we know how difficult it is. We know on paper we are potentially the third favorites. So for us to be 2 points from the top at this moment in time, having played every team, you know, we should feel quite happy, especially since it's our first time, you know, as professional, and we managed to bring players from all over the world and try to make gel them together.
Yeah.
So yeah, overall, I think I feel positive about the season so far, and I think the experience, despite COVID, and despite Storm Kiara, Storm Denise, and all these storms, I think it's been quite positive.
Yeah, you've been working under very tricky circumstances, and I'm going to ask you about the kind of girls working together and people coming from all over a little bit later. But you've mentioned that it's been a really, you know, you can't really give yourself too much of a hard time. Only one loss. It's been a really successful season. We've really enjoyed watching it. What has been your highlight personally so far, do you think? What was the kind of real high point for you?
So my highlight probably since I joined the club, apart from the presentation day, which it was a beautiful day, seeing this expectation that the women team, create in the city. And it was amazing to see that. But obviously the best moment, it was the last minute winner against Glasgow City. That's a moment it will be with me forever. Uh-huh. Then we were unfortunate that this game didn't count. And then in the replay, we all know what happened. After that, I think obviously the best moment is our win against, you know, Rangers away. Uh-huh. It's my very first time on a Glasgow derby, and you know, it's quite nice to be able to get the 3 points. And in the way we got it, I think we deserve it. We kept fighting like always, like, you know, kind of our mentality is like that. We keep fighting until the end, until the final whistle. We are still believing, even when we are 2-0 down. And we managed to win. In unlucky circumstances, we score a legal goal, and then suddenly they put it back to a penalty. If we miss this penalty, I don't know how my team talk was after, but I think that's probably the highlight.
How did you feel when Jody's goal was disallowed?
Anger. You know, I couldn't understand. I said, you know, like, it's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with the action. So it's a goal. You shouldn't punish the team that would have advantage for the team that make the infraction. So it should be a goal. But anyway, I felt great when the goal went to the back of the net. It was amazing feeling. I was delighted. I was delighted for the hard work that we did until then. For obviously we knew it was a difficult game. We were the underdogs, but you know, during the game we never felt like the underdogs. We fought as hard as we could. We actually got slightly more possession. We got more chances. So actually, you know, for the quality of the team we faced, it was a great game for us. So that for that reason is my highlight, apart from that game that was.
From this season, I wondered if you would say that because I've spoken to a couple of the players and they've said that moment as well, that moment against Rangers. So yeah, and I think it was Aaron, I would say it was definitely a highlight for us, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was well deserved over the course of the game as well, to go away from home, and thought the girls performed particularly well that day, and well deserved. And the fact that it comes so late, as you know, Fran, makes it all the sweeter as well.
Yeah. We like a last minute winner. Yeah, we love it.
you love keeping us in suspense, making it exciting. You've kind of talked there a little bit about that scrappiness and that kind of willingness to just go take it right to the final whistle. And we have talked about this a bit before, but as I said, not as much football had been played when we last spoke. So I guess the question I wanted to ask you at this point is, Would you still characterise your style of play similarly than you did when you arrived at Celtic? And how has that changed at all over working in the Scottish League and working with this team? How would you characterise your style of play?
Yeah, I think obviously this is the aim. The aim is to try to win football games, try to be successful while playing attractive football that engages the fans. That's the aim, always was, always will be. Obviously, we have to adjust to the players we have. So some of the players have been playing for Celtic for a long time, and the style before was a very different style, very direct. So we have to make sure we get the best from the players. But I think we have managed to play at times the football we want. We have played very quick football, very good football, possession-based football, but with possession with a purpose, not just for the sake of keeping possession. Mm-hmm. You can see our two main, in terms of minutes, midfielders, both has been rewarded with the Scotland Cup that I think they totally deserve. So I think our training and our style has benefited our players individually. Mm-hmm. We got now, when I first joined, we got one international player. Right now, we got seven. So it's a big, apart from obviously our youth internationals. So it's a very big achievement for us internally. But yeah, I think obviously we are facing teams that are as good or better than us. And, you know, we have to adjust game by game. But I think our performance, our playing style has been good in most of the games. And I think we all, the most important thing for me was to try to keep this style, but try to change into a winning mentality. That team, we have never won anything. Yeah. I think we got one cup. So we have never won anything. While we are facing teams like Glasgow City that has won everything for 13 years, to be able to beat them, we need to change to a winning mentality. And that's the most important thing at this moment in time. And I think we show that. We show that with the resilience, we show with the belief until the last minute, facing tough teams and beating them in the last minute, scoring two goals in 2 minutes to get the point against Forfar. So that does show that not only in terms of fitness, obviously you need to be fit to be able to fight until the 92nd minute, but it's about the mentality, it's about the belief, it's about the togetherness, it's about the fighting for each other spirit. And I am very happy that I think we are, at this moment in time, we are where we want. We would like to have, hopefully two more points at least, or, you know, ideally five more points. But, you know, we know every game is tough. There is no easy games anymore. You saw Hearts beating Hibs. You know, nobody expected it. So it's a very competitive league, which is great for the league. So yeah, I'm happy with the playing style, but especially I'm happy with the mentality that the girls have shown.
Yeah, it's interesting that you brought that up, the mentality, because my next question was kind of going to be about the fact that we've observed, I think, a shift in that mentality. And one of the things is about you talked about the togetherness and the kind of fighting spirit, and that whether that's something and how you've done this, how you've cultivated that on the training pitch and off the training pitch, there seems to be a real togetherness, even not all, like you said, there's been players coming in and out, players coming from outside of Scotland, so not people who've necessarily played together before. What's your approach in terms of cultivating that?
Yeah, for me, the most important thing was, in terms of that, was creating a high-performance environment. You know, in my career, I was always in high-performance environments. If you think about Southampton, we lost not only our manager when we lost Pochettino, but we lost our best players every single year. And whoever we signed, Virgil van Dijk, Sadio Mane, Dusan Tadic, Graciano Pelle, whoever we signed, they came and straight away performed. And that was because of the environment, not necessarily because of the coaching style, not necessarily because of the tactics. It was the environment. It's an environment where everyone is welcome. I cannot take credit for the fighting spirit, because when I came here, I saw a team of warriors. So the mentality was amazing before I came. Then I was lucky enough to surround myself with very, very good staff, not only good professionals, but very good people, which for me is even more important. And then obviously when we do recruitment, for us, you know, we value more, or as much as, but for me more, the personality than the playing characteristics. Uh-huh. So I want to bring good people that are fighters, that got the same beliefs, the same goals, the same ambitions, that match the club, match the teammates. And then we got a team of captains, a leadership group that are very welcoming. They support the girls that come. We got already, you know, Jacinta just came a few days ago, and she's already, you know, best friends of some of the girls. So it's a very, very good environment. Obviously, it's not credit to me. It's not credit to, it's credit to the group. Mm. We know we are family. We know we fight for each other. And if we are going to be successful, it has to be that way, because we don't have the finance to sign the best players every year. We have to kind of produce them and to make sure everyone who come to this team get to play at the best of their ability.
Yeah, that's really interesting that you say about the personality, because obviously I've spoken to Izzy and Anna already. I'm speaking to Mariah and Jacinta a bit later on today. But I think Aaron, both of us and our colleagues noticed that came shining through when we spoke to them, that they had that energy and that kind of that personality that wanted to win.
Yeah, I think it was one of the most pressing things of both the girls' chats with us, that they were coming in to achieve, like you say, Fran, you know, they were coming in to achieve the most that they can. I wonder if that's partly because they know the environment they're coming into through the discussions with you and people at the club before getting there, that, you know, you're coming here because we want to be the best. We may not have the biggest budget. We may not have won anything yet, but, you know, that's what we're aspiring to. How important is that for you, even in signing talks?
Yeah, it's very important. So actually, before we sign a player, I normally deliver a presentation by Zoom. I show them a little bit of, not too much, because obviously they might not sign for us, but show them a little bit how we work, our tactics, our cornerstone, our values, very, very important. And I get straight away the chemistry. I get, you know, I'm very enthusiastic person. That's probably my only skill as a manager. I'm not an amazing tactician, but I'm very, very enthusiastic. I absolutely love what I do. So when I get this chemistry that the player got the same, I know she will do well. If I don't feel this, if I see, you know, the player is not really engaged with the project, even if he's a great player, I know he's not the player for us. Mm. So all these players, they show amazing level of enthusiasm and, you know, they match our goals and belief. We know we are Celtic. Being Celtic, we have to be successful. That's what the budget stands for. So, you know, they want to be. And they know it's not going to be an easy way. It's not, you know, we're training every day. We're training hard. We demand a lot, not only in training, but off training, off the field. But they are 100% into it. So, and that's why the team is doing well. Mm. It's because everyone have the same goals and the same values and beliefs. That's what a team is made from, I think.
You brought it up yourself. So let's dig into it a little bit, if we can, just around training. Obviously, the club have made a shift in terms of going full time, and that was part of the reason to bring you and your team here. And I just wonder what training would look like in an ideal world for you. You know, if there weren't restrictions in place, you know, what's the type of training? How do you bring this high performance environment onto the training field beyond the PowerPoint that you show the girls? How do you put that into practice?
Yeah, so for me, there are a few factors that are very important. So when I first started before COVID, It was great because we managed to train in the morning. Then we all went together, have lunch together. This is very, very important because this is when you build the relationships away from football. When you talk about what you did last night, it's very, very important that you know the teammate or the rest of the team, staff, players, away from football. You know, how are their families? How, you know, what is very, very important. If later you have to fight for them, you know, it's important that you actually love them in a football way. So that was great. And this is what I miss the most. We didn't have many opportunities to do any team building activity. We couldn't do our Gran Canaria trip that we did the season before, which was amazing because that would really make us be a family. So we are missing this. So we are trying to do as many things as we can, like with Zoom, quizzes, you know, everything we can. It's not the same. It's not the same, not the face-to-face interaction. And in terms of specifically training, for me, the most important thing is to teach the game. We got a very specific way of playing with the ball, without the ball, in both transitions. I try to go away from exercise where the girls cannot take the exercise and put it straight away into the game. I try not to isolate. For example, if I want to work with the conditioning, with the fitness that people say, you know, I try to not isolate, not do sprints without, you know, con set of sprints. For me, this, yeah, improve the conditional part, but doesn't improve the other three dimensions, the tactical, the technical, and the psychological. If I put an exercise where you lose the ball and you have to do the transition to defend, you make the sprint, and I can be the same distance, but at the same time, is technical, so you sprint 100% in the last 3 meters, you open the body shape so you see the ball and the opponent. It's tactical, you recover not towards the player, but in the middle, in between the player and the goal. And it's psychological, you are making decisions. So the same physical outcome, but in the second example, you are working with all the dimensions of football. That's what we try to do. Try not to, for us, if we split, we lose. So try to make it easy for them to understand how we want them to play, especially when many of our players, they never play in the same way. They play in a different style. So they have to learn the game. It's not only about playing, it's about knowing how we want to play. I always tell the girl that we train more for the brain than we train for the legs.
Yeah, that's a really fantastic insight. Thank you. When me and we've spoken about the style of play, and I think there is a very set style, and we done a podcast just last week, an update on the women's team, and we've seen over game by game, it's just getting better. You know, you spoke yourself about the Glasgow City game, and the preparation time probably helped City and went against our girls. But I just want to dig into that style a little bit more and where that's come from for you. Is that something that you've developed over time as a coach, or is it something that, you know, has been a cornerstone of your beliefs for your whole coaching career?
Well, it starts as a kid. I remember the Brazil. I'm quite old, so I remember the Brazil national team, which have a style that I absolutely love. You know, it was that old that Socrates was playing, so imagine how old it was. And after that, you know, Barcelona dream team, the Johan Cruyff Barcelona, it was a team that I absolutely love, the playing style. And a little bit more recent, obviously, Guardiola's Barcelona, Spanish national team, Empoli, Arrigo Sacchi's Empoli, all these teams that have a style, a very defined style, and I absolutely love. I love to watch those games. I really, really enjoy. So I always say when I am a manager, that's the way I want my team to play. I really, really love it. I believe in it. Then obviously I shape my, this is what I love, that's the ideal, but yeah. Then I shape my philosophy towards my learning experience. So, you know, I got a lot of details of how to press efficiently from Pochettino. I think Pochettino's pressing is one of the best I've seen. Obviously, all this positional play from Barcelona Dream Team, I get a proper insight when I work with Ronald Koeman, who was one of his main players. So I've been very, very lucky in my career to be able to learn from these top managers. And that obviously shaped my beliefs. I got my philosophy, but when I compare that with these top guys, obviously, you know, you have to take input because they know much more than you do. I try to see myself as a sponge. So, and I think for football, you have to be adjustable. So I know what I know, but, you know, there are some people that know much better than I do. So you try always to be shaping without losing your identity, but always shaping, because football is always adjusting. You never know enough.
Yeah, fantastic. I think you said something earlier that really struck a chord with me personally, and it was possession with a purpose. So I think too often in football we see teams who want to keep the ball, who just keep it, and it's that bit slow. But one of the main aspects I've seen in your team over the last 7 games that we've watched, you know, is that build out play from the back and how quickly your girls move it forward. And in particular, I spoke about her recently, Caitlin Hayes. I think we've seen a real development in her game and the way that she moves the ball forward. I'm going to say that's because of what you guys are asking her to do in the training and the training that you've done. But just how important is that to have someone in that sort of role who's playing centre-half, who historically, especially in this country, would not be synonymous with being ball players, but you know, you've almost developed her to that point where she kicks off a lot of your attacks through playing that vertical pass, breaking that initial pressing line for you?
Yeah, I obviously know Caitlin as well from last season, so that's why I brought her here. I know she gave us something that we didn't have in the team. But I'm happy you asked that. So we have a style, but we are a professional team and we are Celtic, which means we have to win football games. So if you see, for example, against Hibs, they came and press us very, very high and quite good. They press us very well. But what happened is obviously we are good as well if we have to be direct. We are not scared. You know, if we keep the possession with a purpose, which is attract the opponents to create a space somewhere else. If everyone comes towards the ball, towards us, towards our defending third, obviously, if we got a space in behind, we are going to exploit it. And that's why, you know, we went to halftime with an amazing result. Like 5-1 is unbelievable against Hibs. But, you know, they risk, they press us very, very high and quite well. So we realized that our, you know, build-up, it wasn't as efficient because of the numbers they were committing. But we have a space at the back, so we spotted very, very early in the game and then we exploited it. So we got a purpose, as I say, is create a space. So we don't want to dominate possession. We want to dominate a space. That's our key. We are obsessed about dominating a space, not possession. Obviously, to create a space, you do it with the ball, because while you have the ball, they cannot hurt you. But we want to dominate a space. If the space is in behind, because they are just pressing high, we will try to exploit it. And sometimes, like against he's very successful.
That actually leads nicely on to the next question we already had prepared. And it was that, do you set up a little bit differently dependent on opponents? And because obviously we've seen that the actual formation system remains the same, but like you say, the Hibs game was different. And also the last 15 minutes of the Forfar game, you switched very quickly when you lost the second goal and you became a bit more direct, and obviously it paid dividends. So do you look at the other teams as in-depth as you can and set up differently depending on the opponents?
Yeah, of course. As I said before, you know, we are a professional team. It's not the same if you are a grassroots team or if you are in academy football, then you might not sacrifice the style for winning the game. I would, but I understand that some people wouldn't. But in professional football, you have to win. It doesn't matter if you play very, very well, but you lose the game, it's a failure for everyone and for your fans, which is the most important thing. The fans have to feel proud about the team, and the better way to make them feel proud is by winning. If you also can give them a good performance, then it's even better. But of course, our job as coaches, and I like my players to realize it themselves, is to see how we can hurt the opponent. It's like a game of chess, you know. It depends how the opponent is. Not like, oh, that's the way I play. Well, it's the way you play, but you need to see what the opponent, how he moves his weapons. You know, so obviously it's a tactical game. We will adjust, and I am very, very proud of how versatile we have proved to be. You know, we try to play, we are quite good playing out, but if the team is efficient, the opposition is efficient pressing us, and we are losing the ball in our defending third or in our own half, we will switch the style of play to make sure we dominate the space. You can dominate the space through, you know, one touch passing, quick passing, or you can dominate the space by being direct if the space is in behind, you know. So no problem, as long as we dominate the space, I'm happy. It's not so important how we do it, as long as we control the game.
Yeah, I just want to touch on something you said there about versatility, and I wonder how much of a role it plays in you when you're looking at players, when you're looking at building a squad, you know, because you hear certain managers will say, I want my fullbacks to be able to do a certain role, and I only sign a fullback like that. But what we've seen from you, Fran, is some players who, Kiva Keenan being the main example I can think of right now, predominantly was a right fullback, you know, anytime I've seen Celtic previously, but you've given her opportunity and license to play further up the pitch. Is that something you look in for your players as well, that they have versatility, that they can change their game dependent on the situation that they're faced with?
Yeah, I think that gives us, I don't know, a big advantage. If you see Jody Bartel, for example, she was a centre-back, but she was a centre-back with amazing physical attributes. So for me, as a center back, she was wasted. And I know that will help us in the transition to defend because she's fast, she can recover. She's probably the fastest of four our center backs. But I thought actually by being fullback, she defend very, very good in 1v1s because she got this experience of a 1v1 defending as a center back. But she also can go up and down all game. If you remember a Glasgow City game, the one that we won 2-1, she almost scored with 5 minutes to go against Rangers. She scored, although it was in a corner, but she can do this all game. So for me, and also when we are in the attacking phase, the players know the positions they need to occupy, but we don't care who occupies that position. So I don't care if it's the fullback inside in the half space, or if it's the one that is providing width, or even the fullback, the one that is stretching the opponent. We don't care. As long as everyone knows their roles. So for us, it's very, very important that the players are versatile. We have players that only can play one position, and for us become a little bit more difficult because we became predictable. It's very easy for the opposition to fix the player. So yeah, it's definitely something that as a team, we are versatile. We can play within our playing style and philosophy, but we can try to help the opponent in different ways. But that all, obviously, we have players that can play in several positions. If you see, for example, almost every player, yeah. There are some that, like Kathleen or Anita, that are like just a nine and they're not so comfortable going wide. But the rest, Summer Green, for example, start on the right and then end up playing as a 10, comfortable in both. Nat start as a deep midfielder, then we put her as a 10, again, playing very well in both positions. So we got so many examples of players that can play almost everywhere. Ideally, in our ideal scenario, our front four can play in any of the front four positions. And then, you know, we got our rotations and it's very difficult for the opponent to track the movements. So that's the ideal scenario. Obviously, later when you are playing, it sometimes works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, when you said there about how the girls will fill it, you don't care who takes up whatever role as long as each position is filled. I instantly thought of the front four because I think we're seeing more and more, you know, you think of Sarah Ewens with Summer when she was there, you know, a fluidity and a rotation of them that they just seem to have this freedom. But not only is it giving them freedom, you know, there's clear defined roles there and there's clear defined movements that they have to make, but they all seem to be getting an understanding of whether they be on the left and the 10 out in the right or through the middle, you know, they all seem to know that role. Just how important is that for you, especially in an attacking sense, that against teams, I think of the Forfar game specifically, they set up pretty deep and Spartans did the same. They set pretty deep against you. They had that low block. How important is it to know that your front four players can pull defenders around by knowing each other's movements?
It's very important, and I'm glad you asked that. So for me, you can or we shouldn't take the creativity out of the players. That's why they are great players, because they are very, very creative. I don't like to have, you know, robotic, oh, you have to do this. And somebody have to be in this position because we need to stretch them in this position, two people in the half spaces so we can play both directions and they cannot make predictable and once have to stretch them. Who occupy this position? We don't care. And it's very important actually that they rotate and sometimes it's you here, sometimes it's you there. It's very important because the opponent, you know, when they are making this movement, they don't know if to follow, if protect the space. If they follow, we exploit the space that has created. If they don't follow, then you can play to the player that is moving. By knowing these movements and knowing these options, respecting the creativity of the players, they are free to do whatever. Actually, when we do our attacking patterns, we never say, okay, you play here, and you play there. No, you play here, and then you got this option, this option, this option. You got this option. So we give them all the options that they could have, and then they make the decision themselves. So, yeah, it's very, very important. The more creative you show, the less robotic, the more difficult for the opponent to... We have faced some opponents. Obviously, I don't want to say the name, but we have some rotations and are quite good, but it's the same rotation over and over again. So for us, it was quite easy to spot it, and then when we face them... you know, it works once, and after that it didn't work anymore because we already knew, so we didn't follow, we protect the space. So it's very important that the player got this creativity and make your play, especially your attacking play, unpredictable.
Fantastic. Just you've touched on it there on the opponents and you know, understanding them. Just how much access do you have to, it's obviously an increasing part of football management, the data and analytics and footage of your opponents. How much access do you have to it, and how do you use it to your advantage?
So this was one of the first things one of the first fights, if you want, I pick up, because when I came here, it wasn't footage available. So obviously I tall, and you know, I work a club, you know, our board to talk to the league, that it cannot be, we cannot call ourselves a professional league when every club hasn't got footage. So this year has been good. Every team has uploaded their footage. So we have footage for every single game. And for us, it's very good because obviously we got Dan, who's our analyst, and you know, Michael is normally the one that do our opposition analysis in detail. And, you know, obviously we swap. So David will do the set plays. You know, I will do the general. Michael will focus on the attacking, defending trends. So it's quite a in deep analysis of the opponent. So normally we know their strength, their weakness, and it's obviously this. If we are a professional league, that's a non-negotiable. And but this year it's been very good. Last season we didn't have the same facilities, so I was a little bit disappointed. But that's one of the things that we have improved as a league. So it's very good.
Yeah, it's fantastic for us, I suppose, as Scottish football fans to hear that that sort of thing is improving. I think, Claire, you'll probably back me up here, but we have seen the league, you know, that most teams are now taking really positive strides, and that can only be good for the whole quality of the league. Obviously, so many good players now coming into the league as well.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And one of the things we wanted, we've touched on it a little bit before, talking about Anna and Izzy and our conversations with them, and you talked a little bit about bringing players into the squad. What did you have specific kind of aims for this transfer window, for bringing people in for the rest of the season? Obviously you've lost a couple of key players as well, but what were you looking to achieve with that?
Yeah, so for us, obviously I was losing players, and you know, it's a little bit disappointed because the reason why we lost those players is because they want to play and train. And they could do it anywhere but in Scotland. So, you know, even Brenda is playing second division, and straight away she left and she started playing. While here we were in lockdown, not even able to train. Anita the same, Summer Green the same. So my goal for the transfer window, our goal as a team, was to make sure after the transfer window we were stronger than we were before the transfer window. And losing, you know, especially Brenda was unlucky with the injuries. So she didn't make the impact. You know, she's a great player, but she didn't make the impact that we hope. But you know, Anita in terms of goals contribution and Summer in terms of assist goals, there are two very important players for us. So we need to make sure we improve the team. So we cannot do a transfer window just to be as good as we were. We have to try to be better. And I'm delighted. I'm delighted with the transfer window. I think, you know, obviously Mariah is. Her CV, the team she come from, and her physicality. She doesn't know the league, but I think she's going to make a straight impact. Is an athlete, is super fast, a great quality. Then Izzy is probably one of the most promising young players in Ireland. She just made into the senior squad, a left-footed player, which for us is important to give us this balance. She can play fullback, she can play winger on the left, on the right. So again, this versatility that we want. Anna, obviously, you know, she's one of the is the future of Spurs. So she's just coming on loan, but you know, amazing experience for us, senior international, super talented player. So and then Jacinta, which you know is a player I face, and she was absolute nightmare to play against. She destroyed us, absolutely destroyed us. So when I thought it might be a possibility, I you know, I really wanted to bring her, and I did a presentation, and again, she showed the same enthusiasm. She got a few offers from England, but after our chat, then we decided that we have to work together. So I'm very, very excited. And I think overall, if you see the four players we brought in and the three players we lost, I think, you know, we are stronger. And on paper, we are stronger. We have to show it now on the pitch. But I'm very, very excited and I'm delighted from the transfer window. A big effort as well from the club. You know, to stretch the budget as much as we could in a difficult time with COVID, and I know it's difficult, but so it's good effort from everyone at Celtic. Okay. So now it's our turn to show, you know, to show appreciation and to their hard work with our work on the pitch.
Yeah, you talked a bit there about kind of the fact that we lost some players because you know, we're the only league that's not playing at the moment. And, you know, that we touched on it in the last episode we did about women's football, about Laura Montgomery talking about that lack of advocacy for the women's game in Scotland. Is that something, I don't know if you've got anything to say about that, whether that's something you've experienced. You talk about there as well, going to the club and saying, please speak to the league about the issue with, you know, not having footage and things. How are you feeling about it? Do you think there's kind of positivity on the horizon in that sense? We're all obviously waiting, as we record this, we're waiting to hear whether the league's going to return any minute.
Yeah, I got mixed feelings with this. Obviously, I don't want to get in trouble, but I know there are some, you know, every other league in Europe, they are doing something that we are not. So the COVID issue is a COVID, you know, in the whole world. But every other league looks like they do something and we are not doing it. So for me, the scenario I would have loved is okay, let's extend. We are a professional league with two Champions League spots. So we are one of the good leagues in Europe.
Yeah.
By doing what we have done, I think we lost, not only we lost quality in terms of some players, but we lost a little bit of, you know, so we could have signed maybe another players. But, you know, there is uncertainty. Oh, when we are playing, and my answer was, I don't know. We don't know. But how other leagues are competing and you are not? And my answer was, I don't know. So, yeah, I think obviously it's not my job, and health is always more important than anything else. But I would have liked, you know, I don't know if it's the SFA, the government, I don't know who, or the league, I don't know who, but I would have liked a little bit more support towards the professional women game in Scotland. Especially the first lockdown, it was in the whole world, and you understood it was everyone fighting against the same. This time looks like, you know, we are the only one. So it's very, very frustrating, especially for foreigners. If you are based in Scotland, it's where you are anyway.
Yeah.
But for us, and I experienced, obviously, I came here on my own, and you know, I got my family in Spain, and I came here to do football, and I cannot do it. So mentally, and I consider myself quite strong mentally, but I understand some players, young players that we got, they came here to play football and they cannot play football. They are not allowed to train. So imagine the mental challenge they are facing every day. So maybe you are fixing something in terms of virus, but we are creating some other problems in terms of mental health, in terms of... So I would have liked maybe we do a little bit more effort to support the professional women game in Scotland. But saying that, hopefully we got good news, and then on Monday we can start to compete, because I don't want to think even a scenario where they actually extend or you know, delay any more training. It would be devastating.
Yeah, exactly. And I think one of the things was not having someone in post at the SWF to kind of make those petitions to the government or to the SFA, whoever was making those decisions. But I'm thinking about being hopeful for that, and that it will all go forward, because like you say, there's a duty of care to the players to make sure that they're here to play football and that they're playing football. Talking of which, something that is happening, I just wanted to, we talked about it right at the beginning, the call-ups for Natalie Ross and Lisa Robertson to the Scotland squad. How did that make you feel, especially for Lisa to get her first international call-up?
I feel delighted. I feel very proud first. I think they totally deserve it. It's a credit. It's a credit first to those two players, but it's also a credit to the whole team, to their teammates, who has made them as well improve as much as they have. So I'm delighted. Back in November, after the Hibs game, I said publicly, like, you know, I was very surprised that they didn't have the chance, because for me, in my opinion, maybe together with Sam Kerr, they were by far the three best midfielders in the country, by far. Mm-hmm. And they were the only two that they didn't, you know, being called up. I'm delighted that now, you know, Stuart has you know, gave them a chance. I think they did very well when they came the other day. They, you know, they kind of looked totally comfortable. For Lisa was especially, you know, it's the first ever time that she played, and she looked very comfortable. She switched play well, she played quick, not even did an assist. You know, a couple of free kicks as well, you know, which is part of her game. I'm delighted for them. I'm very, very pleased. I think that says something mainly about them, their mentality, their how much they have improved, how much belief they shown, And but also it's good for the team. For all of us, you know, that day, the game day, everyone was texting then in the group. We got a WhatsApp group, everyone was texting then before, after the game, everyone was delighted for them. So obviously we are a family. So when somebody from your family got something like that, you know, we are all delighted. So I think it's fair, I think it's well deserved. And I'm delighted, and I hope they it's only the first of many.
Yeah. And do you think as well, you kind of alluded to that it might raise the ambition, it's part of the fact that they're playing in this team that's allowed them to get where they are, and that maybe that will trickle down and there'll be other players, we'll see more Celtic players in the Scotland squad at some point?
I hope so. I mean, you know, as I say, before the style was more direct, so the midfielders were not used as much. Sometimes they miss midfielders because the pass was direct from the centre backs to the wide areas. But now, you know, we use them all the time. Defensively, offensively, we use them all the time. So because they were already great players, just now they have more opportunities to show how good they are. While before, maybe they didn't have as many opportunities. So, definitely, I think our style has suited them more just because they are midfielders. So they are a key part in our build that phase, in our pressing. So it you know, and they've been working very hard, but they've been as well lucky, not picking up injuries, so they have this consistency, you know. And then obviously there are two players that the minimum is an 8 out of 10. That's the worst they play is an 8. They give you 8, 8, 8, 9, 10, 8. It's all the time high performance. So yeah, is if I was the national team manager, I would as well call them, no doubt. So I think it's totally well deserved, and as I say, I would be delighted if it does something that happen every time Scotland play a game.
Yeah, we hope so as well. It kind of makes the watching the national team a bit more exciting as a Celtic fan when you've got your own players potentially being on the field. Talking of ambitions internationally and kind of outside of Scotland, I did want to touch on kind of what your ultimate ambitions for this team are and how you feel about kind of chasing those Champions League places at this point in the season. Let's assume that everything does get back to normal in the next few days.
Yeah, I always say, you know, for me, the most important thing is concentrate in the next game. That's the only thing I care. But obviously we are, as I say, we are family, we got our goals, but the girls make it very, very clear to us that for them, their goal is a Champions League spot. So they have a clear ambition of this. So, you know, I think we are good enough to fight for it. And, you know, obviously I will focus, I will still focus just in the next game. I cannot focus in more than the next game. That's for me is my way of coaching. But I know the long-term goal, well, the short-term goal, I mean, for this season, for the girls is to qualify for this Champions League. So I hope we are good enough to do it. And that's an experience that I would like to, you know, to experience, you know, to be in the Champions League with Celtic, to be able to play in Europe, which is something that we have never done, and would be great to be the first ones to ever do it. And, you know, just to get this experience in this project that we got, long-term project of become the top team in Scotland, or one of the top teams in Scotland. I think to be able to compete in Champions League is key part of this process.
Yeah. Like we said, it's close at the top, so it's going to be exciting to watch and to see the team sort of chase that place. Obviously, the other thing is that if we do go back, if the matches are played in order, then the next, it would be Glasgow City again as the first game, which would you just be approaching it in the same way that you've been talking to us the whole of this interview, just get the girls up to speed? How are you going to approach getting them back to that playing, having been kind of off the training pitch?
Yeah, the big deal. So this time, last time, I wanted to play any team but Glasgow City, only because they were the team with bigger advantage. They were training for 3.5 months. That's a huge advantage.
Yeah.
They would have beaten any team in Scotland, no problem, because obviously they were fully fit while no one else were fit. But this time, we all have the same. So I don't mind the opponent. I really don't mind the opponent. Whoever the league decide that we have to play, we will play then. And you know, by saying I don't mind the opponent doesn't mean that it's going to be an easy game, for sure. Whoever the opponent is not going to be easy, for sure.
Yeah.
But this time, I don't think, maybe Rangers will have a a slightly advantage because they got more international players.
Yeah.
And those players has been training and playing. So that's the only thing that probably got a little bit bigger advantage. But saying that, you know, we got two of our key players has been training as well. Plus we got, you know, Ana, Kiva, Ishi. We got international players as well that has been training. So this time, you know, I don't mind. So if it's Glasgow City, then this time if they beat us, it's because they've been the better team, not because they have an advantage in terms of training.
Absolutely. We're really looking forward to it coming back. Absolutely can't wait. It's really great to talk to you and to sort of get back in. It's making me really excited again to watch the football and hoping that we do get to see the girls soon and also hopefully come along to K-Park and say hello at some point next time you're playing. Thank you so much for talking to us. It's really great to get that insight, especially you having sort of been the manager during this very difficult time and how you've dealt with it and how well the girls have been doing. But yeah, Fran, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. It's a pleasure always to be here. And yeah, I hope you're right. And we can, on Monday, we're going to start training. And then very soon we can welcome the fans. Because for us, as I say many times, for us, all that this that we do is because you want to inspire people. You want to create this excitement around the club. And without the fans, that's impossible. So we are really, really looking forward to welcome fans and you know, experience what we did for a very, very short time when we first started here. So, yeah, thank you for having me here and any time.
Thank you very much indeed, Fran.